Well, hey everyone. We are in the midst of an interesting time, and for some people, they will think the series that we're launching is like walking into a minefield. Without any question, the current election cycle we're in is more charged than in recent memory. And after 2016, we thought, how could it get any worse? We borrowed the title for the series from a friend of mine who wrote a book, a guy named Ed Stetzer, and the book was called Politicked. Now, we're not taking anything from that book in the series, but we really like the title. A lot of people really are ticked off. They're concerned, they're upset, and in a variety of ways. And I'm not at all saying that we shouldn't be concerned and all that. But there is a different kind of atmosphere right now in our country, and it's probably tied in some with the virus, other issues going on, and then we have an election that represents so much. Barna Research Group has done a study, and they found that this year, compared to 2016, 41% more adults are engaged in the political process, and they're very involved in it. Interestingly enough, among practicing Christians, the engagement is 48% higher than it was 4 years ago. So we've got some things going on. We got some things that we need to be aware of and think about. I believe that at New Hope, we will handle this well, this series. It's a three-part series. The first two prior to the election, the third one right afterwards. And instead of being driven by emotion, I believe that for the most part, our people are going to be driven by devotion to Christ. And that will lead, in how we respond. And I really hope that not only will we respond that way, but that others that watch us will see something distinctly Christ-like in us and through us. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus, and I know every week we have plenty of people that watch that are still debating that or wondering, I hope you'll hear something in this that might help you understand who God is, what he calls us to do, how he calls us to live. And it doesn't mean that as followers of Jesus, we always get it right. We don't. We're fallible. We can fall into all kinds of things. But I hope that you'll get a picture of what God is like and what he offers us. So before I get started, let's pray together. God, please speak to us. Help us to listen. Help us to listen to you. Help us to be willing to listen to others. And that to let our mindset be that we are going to love you with our whole heart, and we're going to choose to love our neighbors too. I pray that you would guide our country through the times we're in now that are so divided and difficult, and that especially those of us that claim to follow your son Jesus, that we really would be salt and light in our country, in our families, in all of our relationships. So please speak to us right now, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Politics, here's the Merriam-Webster definition of it. It's the art or science of guiding or influencing government. Politics in and of itself is a very neutral thing. It's not bad at all. It's actually very helpful. The problem is when we start handling the gaining of influence and power wrongly, or when we handle gaining it or holding on to it. And let me say at the outset, in this series, the way we're approaching it is how to look at being politically involved, how to be involved in these processes that we have, including voting. We are not endorsing candidates or parties or telling anyone how to vote. You're not going to know how I'm voting. You're going to know how I'm approaching it and how I hope all of us as followers will. We encourage people at New Hope to be actively engaged in the process. And we're so fortunate because the freedoms that we have are the envy of so much of the rest of the world. And we want to take advantage of those freedoms legitimately and honorably in the process. Along the way, over the years, we have addressed almost, I believe, every issue that is coming up in this election. We've addressed it from a biblical framework. What does the Bible say about this from a biblical worldview? What are those things that honor God? What are the things He has declared? And we want to continue to do that. We want you to be actively engaged. But let me tell you, there's a verse in 1 Timothy 1:5 that is, it's put succinctly what we're working to do here at New Hope. It says, "But the goal of our instruction is love." That's love for God and love for others. "From a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith." This is what we're aiming for. So however you go about voting or being involved in the process, I hope that it will be informed along the lines of what God wants. And so let me just start off with my primary point of today. Followers of Jesus, we owe our primary allegiance to God and His kingdom. We're, if you're from the United States, if you're a citizen here, of course, that's important. But it is secondary to our primary allegiance, which is being citizens of God's kingdom. That is where we need to focus the primary part of our attention. And keep in mind, as we approach all of our civic responsibilities here, we need to be careful not to fall into what we're all susceptible to, and that is errors and rabbit trails and dangers. So our citizenship in God's kingdom informs everything else that we do. And let me tell you, all of us are susceptible, or we can be caught up in things that get us out of line. I've made no secret about this, but ever since we started New Hope, I make sure the finance team and the finance office know that I don't want to know what anybody in our church gives. I don't want to know the big donors from the ones that don't give, or the ones that just give a little. And the reason is not because I'm so noble. The reason is because I don't want my judgment to be clouded and to think, boy, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this because that big donor might leave. Or maybe I should say this because we'll get somebody to give a lot more. I want to be really careful. I know that I have my own weaknesses. And when it comes to politics, it's the same thing. If we're not careful, we can be susceptible to the power and the influence that come. And so we want to be wise. We want to be honorable. We want God to be pleased with all that we do. So let me read to you a passage here in 1 Peter 2. This is one that I hope you'll camp out on because it informs some things about how we approach this. Talking about us being primarily citizens in God's kingdom. It says this, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God." The moment you become a follower of Christ, you now belong to God. He's your Father, He's your King, He's your CEO. "A people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." And this idea of mercy and camping out on this means that every response we have in following God and obeying Him, gratitude should be throughout that. And that gratitude drives us to put God's interests first. It's not just like a mere servitude to Him. It's just out of utter gratitude that He gave us mercy, that He rescued us from darkness. And so we trust and obey Him in all things out of this sense of amazement at His kindness. It goes on to say, "Dear friends, I warn you, as temporary aliens or temporary residents and foreigners." I mean, it means that in this world that we're in right now is temporary. My time here in the United States, my time here on planet Earth is temporary, but I'm in God's kingdom forever. So I need to recognize this is temporary, and I need to keep away, it says, from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. So that means there's constantly this battle of wanting to put things here more important than those things that God says are long-lasting. Look at how you spend your money. I can invest in making my life just as happy and comfortable as possible now, or I can invest in those things in God's kingdom. They're going to pay off long, long after this world is gone. "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. For the Lord's sake, respect all human authority, whether the king is head of state or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and honor those who do right. We'll probably get into this more later in the series, but the idea here is that God has established that the social networks and society, they need government. That doesn't mean that every government is God-honoring. It doesn't mean that every official is just like a pastor to the people. It does mean that God has ordained governing authorities. And that to the degree we can follow that without compromising our trust in him, we need to. And remember, too, this was written during a very autocratic, it was under Rome's rule. And the Caesars were not known to be godly people. Far from it. They used their power for their own benefit for the most part. So it was not a democracy. It was not anything like the system we're in now. But we obey and respect human authorities as much as possible because it's part of our response to God as his citizens. Here's another point. So the first thing is followers of Jesus, we owe our primary allegiance to God and his kingdom. Here's the second thing is there is no form of earthly government. There's no party or interest group or candidate that is utterly trustworthy. We see this all the time. We've seen it every year where we see weaknesses in our leaders. We see it that they may make promises they don't follow up on, or they'll say whatever they can to be elected. This isn't new. This is human nature. Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And that's not just saying that politicians' hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. Every one of us is here. Every one of us is weak and broken and fallible, and we're susceptible to all kinds of things. And then you add the nature of politics. The nature of politics is to please certain groups to gain power, to be elected. This year, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, it's a nonpartisan group, they're saying that there will be $11 billion spent on presidential and congressional races. $11 billion. There's a lot of compromises that are made to get those dollars. There are a lot of negotiations that go on to be endorsed. And again, we need to just have our eyes wide open to this. I want to read to you a quote. This is a quote from the House of Commons by Winston Churchill in 1947. He said, "Many forms of government have been tried and will be tried in this world of sin and woe. No one pretends that democracy is perfect or all-wise, nor should we. Indeed, it has been said that democracy is the worst form of government except for all those other forms that have been tried from time to time." You know, we're fortunate that we have a voice. A high price has been paid for us to have a voice in our government. There are people that have sacrificed their lives and their fortunes so that we could live in a country that is really the envy of so much of the world. It's not perfect, though, at all. But we need to recognize that within this we have responsibilities. And we need to be careful not to be duped. It's somehow that the next one we elect, the next one we put in power, whether it's a party or person, will be our savior. Let me read to you from Psalm 146. It really helps level set our thinking. "Don't put your confidence in powerful people. There's no help for you there. When they breathe their last, they'll return to the earth, and all their plans die with them. But joyful are those who have the God of Israel as their helper, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He made heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise he makes forever. Leaders and nations and governments come and go. Promises come and go, but our King is eternal." The passage goes on to say this: "He gives justice to the oppressed and food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are weighted down. The Lord loves the godly. The Lord protects the foreigners among us. He cares for the orphans and widows, but he frustrates the plans of the wicked. The Lord will reign forever. He will be your God, O Jerusalem, throughout the generations. Praise the Lord. Place your trust in the one who is absolutely trustworthy. So we're primarily citizens of God's kingdom. That's our first and foremost allegiance. All other forms of government and parties and persons are fallible. They're not utterly trustworthy. Therefore, our faith should guide our every decision, including political ones. Our faith should infiltrate and permeate all of our thinking and how we go about living. As citizens of God's kingdom, that is our calling. That once I become a follower of Jesus, everything now revolves around my relationship with Christ. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, "But seek first his kingdom," meaning God's kingdom, "and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." In other words, don't go seeking comfort and clothes and houses and cars. Or don't go worrying about all that. Make your number one priority to pursue God's kingdom, and he will take care of everything else that you need. That does not mean you're going to live like kings and queens this side of heaven. Some might. But it does mean that our life will be absolutely, absolutely worth it, even if we are in a prison or in poverty. God will take care of us. And in this short amount of time we have here on earth, 7, 80, 90 years, whatever we get, that we'll be able to look back from the scope of eternity and see it was absolutely worth it. That means that if I'm going to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that means I need to learn and study what the Bible says, what God has given us, to understand his interests and his values and his priorities. I need to understand his standards of conduct in my life and what he calls others to. To summarize it this, and I need to understand God's will and God's ways. And Jesus challenged us to pray with this in mind. He said in Matthew, when he was teaching us how to pray in what we usually call the Lord's Prayer, but it's really a model for our guiding our prayer. He said this, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed or holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Meaning, God, help me to do my part of fulfilling your will here on earth, just as it is in heaven. There are many, many issues that are getting people's attention right now. There are tons of things. I want to just make a list of some of these things. And we have a chance to influence in some ways through how we are actively involved in our voting and our other means of being involved in the political process. Here are some of the things that are just standing out in front of people right now. Dealing with this COVID-19 crisis that no one anticipated, but everyone has been impacted by. The growing infection rate, the deaths, the impact on our education and our children and mental health, and the number of people that have died as a result of this, 225,000 people. And I think in the last 24 hours, over 1,000 people died, and the infection rate is increasing. I mean, it's got everybody's attention. There are other issues going on too, things about human dignity and treating people with respect. There's racial justice, rights of all people, the born and the preborn, poverty, and those that are poor and having to live without. There's sex and gender issues that are constantly in the news, assisted suicide and other issues that are really at the forefront of so many people's thinking. There are national security issues, whether it's our borders or how we treat people that are here in our country, undocumented or illegal. How do we deal with those? How do we deal with the dreamers, those that had no really choice in the process? We have foreign policy issues, and when and where do we get involved militarily? And when do we pull back, or should we pull back? How do we respond to a continuing refugee crisis throughout the world that's really kind of dropped off the radar, but it is definitely there? What do we deal in deal with when in aid to other countries. When we have needs here, but there are also others that are so far, far behind where we are. There's drought and pestilence in Africa and other places. And what do? There's our economy. We have a skyrocketing national debt that has been added to significantly this year, where our government has helped people that were in desperate need. We have trade policies and tax codes that have got to be addressed. We have gun rights. We have Supreme Court nominations. And then there's the Washington football. Well, I shouldn't mention them. When I talk to people, and I'm sure you've done the same thing too, here are the things that come up. When I talk to people about the election coming up and their response to it, this is the stuff I hear. Primarily, I hear people talk about the personalities of those that are running, especially for president. Then I hear people talk about their party, and in many cases, a long-term loyalty to their party. In some cases where they've pulled away, but many times there's a loyalty with party that is pretty entrenched. There's power. There's looking for ways to get a seat at the table to be influencers. There's voting by our pocketbook. How's it going to impact me and my personal economy? And then there are those, and I'm going to say that there are, to a lesser degree, the ones that I've talked to, not everyone, that where a broad range of policies are being considered. There are a lot of people that have maybe one or two policy items that are important to them, but you know, when you're voting, say, for president, there's a whole slate of policies that are being involved in this that need to be looked at. I believe that if I'm going to be a responsible citizen, not necessarily just as a Christian, but just a responsible citizen, the personalities come and go, but those policies on the platforms are really important. Gallup did a recent survey 2 weeks ago of the top priorities among voting age Americans. And I'm going to give these to you in order. I'm going to go through 13 of them very quickly because I think it's very interesting. The number one issue for this election is the economy. And it's the economy of how it impacts people. Back years ago, one of the candidate slogans, this was back in the, 20 years ago, it was, is the economy stupid? The idea is that how is it going to affect my pocketbook? So the economy is number one, national security number two, coronavirus response number three, healthcare number four, education number five, race relations number six, gun policies number seven, crime eight, abortion nine, immigration 10, climate change 11, taxes 12, and the federal budget deficit 13. This is how people are saying they're going to make their decisions. They are the priorities they're looking at in their voting. We're going to take a harder look at some of this next week, but I'd like to close with some action steps for all of us. We're primarily citizens of God's kingdom. That's where our allegiance should be, if primary allegiance is, if we're followers of Jesus. We need to recognize that parties and personalities are fallible. The only one that isn't is God himself. And with that in mind, I need to really be aware, what is it that God says is important? What does he say on the different issues? And then let that become my guide. So here's some action steps for all of us as we head into this election. Pray for ourselves, our church, but also for our community and our nation. The first thing is pray, really pray. You know, I think too many times we just jump to a decision and we're just assuming God's on our side, or somehow it's kind of a default thing, but we really need to be praying. We need to be praying for ourselves and our families, our country. We need to pray for the leaders and the parties. And as we pray for ourselves, to pray that we would have a willingness to humbly follow God's lead for his honor. And then we also need to pray for the leaders of our country. Not just talk about them, but pray for them. Next thing is, after we pray and really pray, we need to get informed beyond the hype. Proverbs 24:3 says this, any enterprise is built by wise planning, become strong through common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts, not the hype, not the innuendo, but facts. Consider the major issues that are going on. I've given you a list of some of those, and understand, what does the Bible say about that? And if you don't know, find out. And as you're doing this, I encourage you to do is to look and see which party or which group tends to get more things in line with what we know God wants. Not just an issue or this issue. And the truth is, the parties, there is not a Christian party. There's not a group that is particularly godly. They have strengths and they have weaknesses. They have some things they're in line with and some things they're not. So which one gets more of it right? I've been real disappointed in a Lifeway research survey that came out recently. And this is what it said, that only 1/3 of practicing Christians admit that they have changed a political view based on something they've read in the Bible. In other words, they've had their view. It may have been passed down to them. It could be a party they've had allegiance to, whatever. But most of us get our information from sources of news and other resources that are already in line with what we think. Very few of us are spending time in dialogue with those that differ in us. You know, I can learn a lot from someone that has a different opinion than I do. Doesn't mean I have to end up agreeing with them, but it does mean I can at least understand where they're coming from. There are good sources. What I do is I try to get into a variety of resources. World Magazine is one I really like. Christianity Today, those are from a Christian perspective. I also every day read the Wall Street Journal and the Washington Post. They are very different in their perspectives. Real Clear Politics is another good resource, but find some resources and be willing to look at some that are outside your norm. And stay away from the stuff that is spurious or the stuff that really can't be verified. It's just too easy to get involved in that kind of stuff. And the political commercials, you know, I won't say anything about that. Maybe I just did. We're going to be looking at next week on how, and here's the reality, there are followers of Jesus that fall in different camps when they finally make their decision. And can someone be a Christian and be a Republican? Can someone be a faithful Christian and be a Democrat or a Libertarian? The answer, I believe, is absolutely yes. We don't all necessarily come down in the same place, but we do need to be thinking similarly as followers of Christ. The third thing is, I want to encourage all of us to take faithful action. As we make decisions to vote, resist the urge just to follow those that are personalities that are loud and seem compelling. Not just the social network you have or a party line or family tradition or just throwing up your hands. You know, some vote to support a candidate, some vote to block one, some vote to protest, and some choose not to vote at all. I encourage you, get engaged. Really pray, think about this. Don't give up. God will help us if we choose to be faithful. And as you walk through this, don't think that it all hinges, like I've heard people say, this is the most important election in all of our history. You know, the most important decision in all of our history is whether I accept Jesus Christ and whether I'm going to trust and follow him. Elections, I'm not saying aren't important, but political parties and political candidates, all that, they come and go. Let's align ourselves with Jesus. Watch what he can do in and through us. The church grew at a time when there was nothing like democracy. Let's use the opportunities we have well, but not negate the ones that are so important. That is trusting and following Jesus now. I've asked Tasha Cook if she would pray for us. Tasha.
Hello, New Hope family. Pray with me, please. Father, I thank you for how you have made yourself known to us in this beautiful world in which we live. And in your wonderful word, we know that you are good and that you do good because your word tells us that you are, and your word is truth. We know that you are faithful because your word tells us that you are. We know that you are sovereign over all things because your word tells us that you are, and we praise you for that. Help us to remember, Father, in this crazy time in our nation, this election cycle, that you are sovereign over all things. Help us to remember that you are where our help comes from. Help us to remember that you are our source of hope. And that ultimately, no matter who wins, no matter what happens, we can trust your plans to be done because you are in control. Thank you that it is not us in control. Your word also tells us that you have chosen us to be your holy people. Help us to live in a way that honors that, God. That is a privilege and is not something that we can do in our own power. You have even given us that. Your word tells us you have given us everything that we need for life and for godliness. You have given us your Holy Spirit to work out in us what it is you would have us to do and how that all fits into whatever is happening in this world. And I can't understand it, but I praise you for it because I know you have it under control. So in Jesus' name, Father, I ask that you would help us as your church. Help our words and our actions, our thoughts, to be pleasing in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. We thank you so much for how you have loved us, for how you will continue to love us and take care of us. May your will be done in our nation, in our state, in our communities. Father, may your will be done in our homes and in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.